My Journey with Cancer.
I've discovered a golden truth that from the start I was in your heart. A revelation that changed my world, that from round one I am God's son. To be sure in my mind just who I am, such peace, such joy. In my heart, in my soul, this means everything. I'm a man on a mission, I'm God's envoy. For now I know His word is true, and I am more than my work or what I do. And I am loved, and I am His. I am set free. In Christ I have my true identity.
I'm not a cancer sufferer, I'm a human being with cancer.
With me on this particular episode of My Journey with Cancer in Rock Ferry in Birkenhead is, of course, John Daniels, but also Wendy and Tony as well. And Tony, you had something you wanted to ask Pops there. What was that?
Well, Pops, I was thinking that some people, they feel frightened that they'll say the wrong thing to you, and sometimes they're not sure what to say, whether they're saying the right words or upsetting you. So, in my mind, do you think it's better if they just say, John, we don't say how we feel, because we don't.
Yeah.
Everyone's different. We're thinking of you and we're praying for you.
Yeah, it helps enormously. But people have this idea that in this tiny conversation, whether it be in a supermarket or church or wherever, that somehow they've got to make it all right for you. That's not the case. They've just got to be normal, natural with you. What you're looking for is a normal life, normal conversation.
You're no different, John.
Yes.
You're the same John as you've always been.
That's right, yes. You haven't really changed much, apart from, you know, you've now got a condition that could be life-limiting, that will certainly be life-changing, and you just want to know that people around you still see you the same. You know, I'm still the preacher boy. I'm still the guy who helps out at life group. I'm still the one who gets picked on if I don't get the tea right.
Oh. Is that perhaps maybe one of the evil things about cancer, in that it paints people into a corner if they have it? They're no longer a human being. They're cancer, in effect.
Yes, and it's surprising how many people can't bring themselves to say the word.
Yeah.
I have stood in church, mostly church, because, to be honest, the past year I've not been anywhere else apart from supermarkets, and you don't have profound conversations in supermarkets. Unless it's about sausages. And
what, vegan sausages?
What?
Vegan sausages. I must admit, I've had a few profound conversations in supermarkets.
But oh, right.
I've got a big gob, you see.
Oh, right. Well, I don't get many. So, you stand in church and people will say virtually anything but cancer. How is your problem? I don't have a problem. I have cancer. I have a disease. And I have actually known people turn round in the aisle and walk away because they couldn't think what to say. I know what's driving them, and I don't feel any bitterness. But I do feel, come on, guys, what's going off in my skin is a lot harder than what's going off in yours. Just come and say hello. How are you doing? Sometimes it's going to be, hello, how you doing? Oh, that's terrible. Oh, thank goodness I'm not you. You know, that's what they're going to feel inside. But they're going to say, well, you know, we'll pray for you. And guys do pray for me. But you have to talk to people who have cancer to understand where they are at that moment. Once you've got that understanding, whether they're coping well, whether they're not coping. Some people are in denial about cancer. I've known people who wouldn't go to find out whether or not they've got cancer, because if they found out they've got cancer, they might have to face up to the fact that they could die. The one question that comes to my mind then is, what happens in 6 months' time then when you've got it plenty of playroom?
Yes, yes. I can understand them being terrified, but of course, terror is a luxury that they cannot afford to have at that point.
Yeah.
If they can face up to reality, and if whatever they've got is nipped in the bud, then they might stand a chance. Wendy, thanks for being with us today. Wendy, did you get the same kind of sentiment, the same kind of feedback when people spoke with you about your dad?
I don't think I necessarily got sort of denial, because obviously people I have spoken to don't necessarily know my dad on a personal level the same way. I've spoken to a few friends relatives who've had cancer before. So they were quite supportive, not only of me, but also of my dad, because they know the kind of things that, that people with cancer go through, the kind of treatments, the way it can affect your life. The people I have spoken to about it have actually been quite supportive. But I do know what you mean about people who don't necessarily want to own up to saying the word cancer. It's the same way that when you talk about people, when people die, they always say the word die, it's always lost. Is that not acknowledgement? They don't want to deal with it, and they're not quite sure how to deal with you dealing with it. So that's kind of what my experience has been with it a little bit.
Well, I must admit, I am reluctant to use the word died. I prefer to use something like passed away or passed on.
Yeah.
Because although the body may have physically died, I still believe that a soul, a spirit, is still alive somewhere.
Yes.
I can understand people not using the word, you know, so-and-so has died, because I'm reluctant to use it myself. But is that me perhaps maybe being a bit weak? Is that me maybe not facing up to reality?
Not necessarily. I mean, obviously, you believe that souls pass on, and I think that just comes from if people have a belief or not. There is an element of that, but I think there is a little bit of the fact that it's something that people don't want to talk about. I think that's sometimes why the threat of death that comes with cancer makes talking about cancer quite difficult for a lot of people.
Yes, yeah, that's spot on.
And Wendy, was it difficult for you at first when you realised this was your dad that they're talking about?
It is difficult, yes. I suppose there's lots of different things that sort of run through your head, because you're like, oh my gosh, this is my dad, how bad is it? Is it going to be really bad? And then you ultimately do get to the, could I lose my dad because of this?
Or he might die.
Yeah, you know what I mean. There is that sort of chain of thought that goes all the way right through to the end. But I think with us, it's been quite good, because you've been obviously doing this show, which I've listened to.
Yeah.
We talk quite regularly. Yep. I get updates what's happening with the hospital, things like that. I can just sort of sit and go, right, so what's happening next? What's going on? What are your results? How's this going to affect him? Phone up and say, but sometimes I don't necessarily talk to you, because I talk to my mum and he's like, oh, he's been having a bad time and he's been up at night and he's just having a sleep now. So I think you just take it one step at a time.
You have to, don't you? You have to. And you must also as well make the most of every moment.
Yeah.
Every second of every minute of every hour. Yeah. Every conversation.
Yeah.
And John, I'm looking at you at the moment.
I know.
And I'm crossing my mind that this could be the last time I actually speak to you one to one in person.
Ooh.
On this earth.
It's, gosh,
I don't wish to sort of scare you, but it's occurring to me. And somebody who I've come to know really well, who I've formed a real bond with. You've formed a bond with a lot of people at this radio station. I'm thinking,
oh gosh,
is this the last time I'm going to see this friend on earth, this side of heaven?
Yeah, it is true. Yeah, we all have to face that fact. And one of the things we've always said to our girls, to Wendy and Lynn, is we will always be honest with you. And I'd just like to emphasise that. Anyone who has cancer, who is undergoing treatment, and anyone who is connected with anyone who has cancer, please, 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 be 100% honest. The one thing that destroys hope is when people aren't honest with you. I know the conversation well. I have heard it many times over the years. Oh, you're looking so well. And the moment the person walks out of the room, they say he's lost a lot of weight, hasn't he? Don't look very well to me. It's 2 stone, by the way, that I've lost.
Oh, I didn't know you had. Well, yeah. I mean, when I first saw you today, I thought straight away, actually, you look really well.
Yeah, I do.
Better than I expected.
Yes.
But that was a genuine thought.
But I sound worse because of my voice. If my voice wasn't damaged, then I would sound much better. People often think I'm exhausted because of my voice, but I'm not. It's just that I can't put any power into my voice. But honesty makes such a difference. These two girls know that when I get the hard word from the hospital, I will pass it on to them as gently as I can, but I will tell them, because they will then know that for the next year, 2, 3, 4 years or whatever, then they've got to spend time with their dad. And they will do. And it's that honesty that's kept us together as a family. And it's helped us to grow closer together, because they know. You don't protect people by hiding it from them. You protect them by including them in a great big family hug of truth and honesty.
And I guess, therefore, that is something you would recommend to anybody who may be in circumstances not too dissimilar to yourself.
Yes, absolutely.
I'd second that. I think it's definitely worth telling family and being open and honest about it, because I think it'd be the worst thing in the world to find out that something had been happening for 2 years and you didn't know anything about that. You wouldn't give them the opportunity to be there for somebody, to help them, to be a person that they could phone up at 2 a.m. in the morning if they were having a really rough time. And just being able to spend that time together, yeah, knowing that there is something wrong, but also being able to make the most of the times. Like, obviously, things when chemo happens, it's, yeah, there are points that are really difficult for you, but, yeah, then there's times that it's not so difficult,
yeah,
and those are the times you can take and have the opportunity to do things and be together.
Yeah, and do normal things.
And living life to the fullest.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Wendy and I are currently building a garden bench out of old pallet material and fencing, aren't we?
We are.
And we're enjoying it ever so much. You know, but 3 months between dates in the garage to do it because of the illness just drags the job on, but we still get time together. I can pass on some of my skills to Wendy and we just get a chance to have a laugh, hang out together and just have fun. And sometimes Wendy actually hits things with the hammer.
Does she hit you, Diana?
Occasionally.
Anywhere in particular?
Thumb, mostly.
It just didn't move it fast enough.
No. It was my fault, I admit it.
You just screamed.
Yes.
You just screamed.
Yes. It is just so nice to have that space and time. Just stop worrying about what could go wrong, what will go wrong, what might go wrong. And just say, oh, we got this moment. You know, yeah, we were playing some boards up and they came from being some mucky old grey thing to this beautiful wood. And we thought, oh, isn't that beautiful? It's only a little thing, and, you know, all you hip-hoppers out there or whatever you are, you know, you might think, how boring. But not for us. It was a joy. And you find joy where you can find it, and if it comes along, pick it up and enjoy it while it's there.
Oh, yes. We're going to play some more music now. We're going to keep with Rising Hope and Andrew Gardner. This is a track called All Down to You.
It's all down to you. The healing that I've known, the way that I've grown, the person that I am, that I can even stand, it's all down to you. It's all down to you. The laughter through the tears, overcoming of my fears, the smiling through the storm, this badge of courage won, it's all down. I'm not ashamed to revere you. It's so foolish to pretend that without you I am nothing, my lifelong precious friend. I'm not too proud to say it. I'm so glad that you're around. In the storm and the earthquake, you're my solid ground.
You've been listening to My Journey Through Cancer. I'd like to invite you to join me next week at the same place on the dial, at the same time, and walk a while with me. And I personally trust it will be a long, long series, because I want to be round for a long time.